If you turn with me to Psalm 27, our 27th Psalm, our first four verses there. There's a very powerful principle here. And also a praise chorus. Y'all didn't know that. I don't know, I haven't looked through the book. Psalm 27, it's a psalm of David. We look at verse 1 through 4, and it reads as follows. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. In this will I be confident. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we gather this morning, I ask that Your Spirit be upon us, and Your Word come forth now. Heavenly Father, even as You breathe through David these words, now breathe into our hearts Your message, Your hope and Your peace. And unto that end, Heavenly Father, I lift up my prayer that the words in my mouth, the meditations in our hearts and the thoughts in our minds would be acceptable in Thy sight. O Lord God, our strength, our rock, and my Redeemer. Amen. I'm a big fan of Stephen Covey. I like Stephen Covey. Several years ago, I had an opportunity to go to one of his trainings called First Things First. If you know Stephen, he wrote this book called The 7 Habits of Effective People. And a matter of fact, he followed that up with The 7 Habits of Effective Families. Both excellent. And then he came out with The 8th Habit, From Effectiveness to Greatness. And the 8th habit is an awesome habit as well. But I want to share with you that he says, first things first. And what he does is he says that you've got to keep the main thing the main thing. Simple enough, right? The way to find out what you're doing is to always keep the main thing the main thing. Another way to say that is, do not let what matters most to you be at the mercy of what matters the least. Don't ever let that happen and you'll be all right. And the other thing he said is that if you put your first things first and you continue to be consistent in that, you're going to get where you're going. Anybody ever thought about how you might get from here to New York? Anybody here a pilot? Anybody? Anybody ever fly? I mean, behind the wheel. Fly. I'll tell you, you may not know this, but an airplane when it flies is off course most of the time. Did you know that? Most of the time. See, what a pilot does, and some of you may learn a little bit about aviation. I don't know much. I'll share with you all I know in about 10 seconds. Is they go to the flight planning room and they have to log with the Federal Aviation Commission their flight plan. And they have to determine if the conditions are VFR, which is visual flight rules, or IFR, instrumental flight rules. And then they log their flight plan, where they're going to go, and their course, so that the Federal Aviation and all the people who look over the airplanes and the towers, control towers, know that that's that plane and not somebody they don't know is supposed to be there. That's how they protect our country from foreign aircraft. That there's a flight plan logged in. And that airplane has a number on it when it takes off. The tower says go ahead and clear. That means it's clear to get on your flight plan. However, when the pilot logs that flight plan, it's a straight line pretty much, or it moves around, of course, certain airfields where there's protected airspaces. However, 95% of the time, the airplane is off course. Wonder that it even gets where it's going. But it does, and you know how? Because each time it gets off course, it goes back to the course it mentioned and was planned. Each time it knows I'm off course, I steer back to where I was going. I get back on course. You see, there's an old saying, the way to succeed is to fall down 99 but get up 100. All right? Continue to get down every time, get up every time you get down. Continue to rise up one more time than you fall. Always be ready to start over, to prepare, to do something again, to keep the goal in mind, to not give up. Failure is only giving up at what you dream is possible. And that's what this is talking about in Psalm 27, that David says, there's one thing that I desire, and I may get off course, and my enemies may come against me, but they're going to stumble and fall, and I'm going to get back up. They might not. And one time, my enemies aren't going to get up, and I'll be free and clear. Now think about this. Airplane flying through the air, right? What gets it off course? Wind, storms, other aircraft, unforeseen things. But the flight plan, as long as they keep coming back, and they keep coming back, they're going to get where they're going. And as long as you keep coming back to the thing that's the most important, you will get where that's taking you. Now, to put the rest of that in place, if you know what Einstein said, he said, insanity is doing the same thing, going back to the same thing over and over again, and expecting different results. In other words, if you're on a path that's taking you nowhere and you keep coming back to that path, you're going to get nowhere. If your path that you chose or the thing that's important to you leads you to something that matters to you and has an end that's worth having, you will get to a place that's worthwhile if you keep coming back to it. That's a very simple principle, but it's crucial is you have to continue to reevaluate to make sure the main thing is still the main thing. Now, you might say, well, that's simple enough, but it's not. Because once you realize that you belong to Jesus, you realize one thing. He was perfect, and you're not. You know what that means? That you're not always going to be perfect, and there's going to be times when you say, Lord, I messed up again. Can't believe I did that again. You know, and you can't tell certain people because they, you know, oh, you did that again, and you said you weren't going to do it again. Well, we're not perfect people, and God is infinitely patient with us. Why? Because He's trying to work something into us, and it takes a while to work out that stuff we keep doing again and again that we don't want to do. And the only way for us to become consistently faithful is to begin getting back up each time we fail. And God doesn't see that as a failure. He sees that as character. Your character is known by what you do. And if you continue to get back up, you take the next step forward, God sees your character may have caused you to have some issues in certain areas of your life, but He's going to help you to recognize them and say, let's stay away from those old places that take us to the wrong ideas, or the people that don't help us, or the things that don't help us. I promise you, if when you begin to walk with Christ and you're still walking in some of those old circles and friends are doing some of those things you don't want to do anymore, it's going to be real tough. Because as a baby Christian, you might be wanting to talk about Jesus. They'll say, yeah, sure, but let's go do this first. And then that's putting the first thing second. And not the second thing. Think about that a second, if you know what I mean. Someone will say, yeah, I'd like to go to church, but first let me get my religion on a golf course. I had a guy in church tell me that one. Well, he said he was in church. He said, went to call my religion's on the lake. You ever heard that? I get my church on the lake. I said, guess what? The last Muslim I talked to told me the same thing.
Are you a Muslim? You getting your Muslim on the lake too? You getting your Buddhism on the lake? You can get all that on the lake too. How's that any different than church? They said, well, God's out there. Yeah, they think Allah's out there. They think Buddha's out there. I can meet Buddha on a lake. You think that that works? Someone next time say, well, I get all the religion I need out in the woods hunt. Well, that's what the Muslims say too. That's what they do. I promise you, there's more than one denomination and more than one religion that uses the same excuse that we do. Or that some people do. I'm not saying that's a good excuse. There's not a good one to be out of fellowship. Christianity is not about you and God only. You see, this is a principle that David wants to share with us in Psalm 27, and I hope you get this, that your relationship with God is seen by your relationship with other people. If you have a close heart with God, your relationship with other people will change. If God's love is filling you, you want to be around people who you can love and share that happiness and joy with, the people of the same mind. If not, you don't know if you're any different. How can you tell if you've grown in grace and tolerance and patience with other people on a deserted island? Except for yourself, not quite deserted. I knew you were going to ask me, how can that be deserted if you're on it? I saw that in Sherry's eyes. She said, how can that be deserted if he's on? But I'm trying to say is that if you're alone in your faith, Christianity is not about being by yourself. It improves our relationships with people. It makes us better parents and friends. It makes us better sons and daughters. It makes us better people to relate to the world, not to just God. So if you can learn people skills all by yourself without interaction with anybody else, I'd like to see you try. I learned all I need to know all by myself. Nobody taught me, I taught myself. You know what that sounds like? A good plan for failure. Matter of fact, I had a lot of folks coming to rehab say, I don't need your help, I can do this by myself. I said, you're doing a good job. Your best thinking got you in rehab. Good job. How long is your rap sheet? Your thinking got you into some serious trouble. You think about that for a moment. We don't put the first thing that's in our life first. Everything else crowds it out. And David says, as he says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Who do you trust the most in your life? When you have a tough time, who do you call on first? I'll tell you something scary. I had a guy came into rehab, and he was bad on Oxycontin. Y'all might not be familiar with that, but about 20 milligrams is a normal dose. He stubbed his toe in the morning, he'd shoot up 140 to 240. Just because he stubbed his toe, I said, what about ibuprofen? What about grabbing it and saying, ow? He said, oh, well, I just needed an excuse. But a stubbed toe to kill yourself, a lethal dose for most of us, that's what he would use to wake up. And I said, well, didn't you say, hey, God, help me to feel better in my toe? He says, oh, no, God's not a part of the equation, not till I get my dope. Now, doesn't that sound like his life and his priorities are backwards? Doesn't it sound like the enemy's pretty well entrenched in that man's life? Oh, yeah. I had my hands full with that one. So did another counselor. And another. He was tough. I promise you that when you allow the enemy place in your mind and place in your life and your heart, it's going to destroy you. Slowly. Slowly. So you don't know what's coming on. It always does. Just a little here and a little there until you've got nothing left. And it's real sad. Real sad. But what David wants us to know is if we keep the main thing, God will bless us. However, there's a problem. And isn't there always? We don't always know what's the most important thing. Well, that's not true either. We always do
what's the most important thing to us. Did you know that? We may say, I love God and He's my most important thing, but the first thing we do in the morning is we go out, spend time with friends. Or we do something else, but we don't get alone with God. If He's the main thing, then our life will show that. Or it will more consistently show that, and we'll keep coming back to the main thing. We all have a number one priority in our life, and it's what we spend most of our time doing. It's true. But I want to tell you something. When your heart gets molded by Jesus Christ, let me tell you what my sons taught me many years ago. Johnny would wake up in the morning. He was about three. Well, he was three. And I would be still asleep. He'd come in and shake me. Get up, Dad. Wake up. Get up, Dad. It's a beautiful day. Let's go play outside. Outside, Dad. Beautiful day. Let's play. And I said, go play with your brother. He says, it's no fun without you. We went swimming this week. You ever been to Hopkinsville to the Y? They'll give you a one-day free trial. We went there. And every 10 minutes on the hour, or till before the hour, they have a break at the pool, so the kids have to stay away from the pool for 10 minutes, and there's a playground there. And James wanted to go play on the playground. And I said, I just want to sit here and rest a minute. I'm a little tired. Dad's getting old, and the sun's a little too hot for me. And he said, come on, let's go play shark. I said, you go play shark by yourself. The shark's where you chase each other around, you know, and catch each other. And you know what he said? He said, Dad, if you don't come, I don't want to go. Wait a minute. Think about that a minute. That was a sermon to me. How often do we say, God, if I can't take you with me, I don't want to go. God, without you, life doesn't matter. Without you, life makes no sense. It's not fun. Without you, I don't want to do this. The main thing in your life is what makes life make sense to you. What makes you get up in the morning and say, I'm alive today. I had this trainer one time, and he said, that's not an alarm clock. If you think of it like that, you're going to hit the snooze button. Your best friend would be called snooze alarm. If a snooze alarm is your best friend, you need to change your thinking. He said, that's not an alarm clock. That's an opportunity clock. You wake up, hit it, and say, I got a new day. I get all these opportunities to do things I've never done this day. This is a new day. I'm excited. I get to serve God. I get to do this or that. This man was a salesman. He was selling something that no longer is on the market. But he could sell a lot of this stuff. And he tried to tell us that if you're really excited about what you are and what your life's about, you'll want to get up and face the day and not have to say, I want to lay in bed and regret it. This is a new day. I get to see God today. God might meet me. Someone else might meet God through me. I get a chance to love my family today. I have an opportunity to show others about Jesus. Whatever it is that's your most important thing in your life, shouldn't you wake up and say, this is the first thing on my mind. Not the warmth of the covers. Although it does feel good, doesn't it? Very, very inviting. But I promise you, when God becomes number one in your life, you'll keep coming back until finally you'll notice even intricate variations. Anybody ever been on an ocean liner and piloted one? Nobody, okay. Do you know those boats have an autopilot? Did you know that? Anybody in the Navy know about that? Anybody? I don't know about it from experience. I read about it. They have autopilots on these things. And you know what's scary? Is that autopilot is so precise, it makes instant judgments no matter where the boat is. It doesn't let it get off course more than a half a second. It keeps bringing it back because the ocean is that treacherous. Well, get this, and this is what this man told me. He said, when you're on these waves, 50 feet up and down, you imagine, you know, he says, that autopilot kicks in those waves too. He says, you might be going kind of handling the wave, and all of a sudden the boat will just kind of veer.
He said it's really alarming. And he said what that was is the autopilot getting them back on course because it's immediate. The correction doesn't care about the storm. Hear that? When you realize that all of a sudden, hey, I'm off focus and it's an immediate correction, you're on autopilot with God. Until then, we got to work at it. We got to continue to desire. That's what he says. There's one thing that I desire. Not two, not three, just one thing. And what is it? That I may be in the house of the Lord and inquire in His temple. Now, folks, you know that we are the temple. To inquire in the temple means that He resides within and you can go there. You say, God, get me back on track. Get me back up. As soon as you realize, you're starting to veer a little. I'll tell you what's funny. I like this. I really do. My kids teach me this. I teach myself this. And yet, I'm still learning this. That when you're really good at something, you can notice when something's not quite right. It's your level of proficiency that lets you know if you're doing it right. For example, if I was playing a song on guitar and you all didn't know how to play guitar, you'd say, hey, you're pretty good. But I would notice my mistakes when you wouldn't. Whereas if I was at a level of efficiency at it and I was playing along, and I said, I'm doing pretty good. A very skilled guitarist, or a studio musician, or a pianist with perfect time would say, you missed time there. There's a piece of music, and I'll tell you how I learned this. A man named George Winston plays piano on CD. There's this piece of music, I really, really love it. And I took it to a friend who's a very accomplished pianist. I said, listen to this, it's beautiful. And she's listening, and I said, isn't that, and I'm just, you know, floating along in the melody, and she goes, he missed time a couple places. I couldn't tell. The man's a concert musician. But she's better. And she hears his problems and not the beauty. So when, as soon as you realize that you have a level of proficiency with God, you begin to see when you slip off just a little bit. That's why the first time you mess up, you notice. The second time, it becomes habit. Until you can learn to keep what's most important, priority. My question for you is this. What is the most important thing in your life? What matters the most to you? What is the number one thing in your life that without it, life makes no sense? I promise you, if it's God, then you're seeking God often. A lot of us, it's family. But God comes before family when our priorities are lined up with Scripture. God comes before us. God comes first when our priorities are lined up with Scripture. Until then, God's working on us to get us to that place. When that one thing is all that you desire is to know God and to inquire of His beauty in the temple within, that you would be the sanctuary, then, and only then, will you see the beauty of where you're going. They say that happiness is not a destination. It's the journey made in joy. Are you happy? Are you getting where you're going? Yes. Are you going where you want to get? David says, if you inquire in the Lord's temple, and that's where you want to go, you'll get where God's got you going. For me, that's enough. I trust Him completely. I trust Him with my life. I trust Him with each moment. And sometimes that's scary because I don't know what tomorrow holds. And I promise you, when you begin to inquire of the Lord, He's going to start setting your affairs according to His will. And you're going to feel some friction at first. And you're going to be a little uncomfortable. But when it's in line with His plan and purpose for your life, you'll say, that feels perfect. I can tell you about the time that happened, but I won't unless you ask. And then for now, I'm done. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank You that You love us completely, that You've established Your Word in Your heart in us. And I ask now that as we've come before You, that You show us our heart, our motives, our very priority, and show us where You want us to be in relation to who You are. Heavenly Father, if there's anyone within the sound of my voice that needs to hear Your touch has life-changing implications, may they hear that now. And Heavenly Father, may they feel that now. May they know that now. And may our lives line up with where You want us to go. Thank You, Jesus. Amen.